This morning we're going to start a new series of messages, and we're calling that Getting a Grip, Finding Balance in Your Life. And so we're going to be looking at a number of different things, how we can sometimes find our lives a little bit out of balance. And so this morning we're going to focus on the theme of getting a grip on your life. In other words, getting a grip on our lives kind of as a whole. And so we're going to be reading a passage from 1 Peter 4, and we're going to read the first 11 verses from that. I should say that this series is based on material, on small group material by Willow Creek, Bill Hybels, and some of the small groups are going to be using this material over this fall season. So we're going to be working our way through some of the same themes as in that study material. Hear then the word of God from 1 Peter 4, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Dear people of God, I'll never forget the experience of having a car accident on the Trans-Canada Highway on our way home from our son's wedding in British Columbia 11 years ago. If you've ever been in a vehicle accident, you know the feeling. I was driving along, paying full attention to the road, when all of a sudden I saw a blur in front of us leading to an instant crash. A pickup had crossed the center line and hit the front corner of our vehicle. And apparently we were told afterwards that we spun around a couple times on the highway and miraculously staying on the road without getting hit by anyone else in busy traffic. It was the strangest feeling. The feeling of sheer panic and powerlessness to suddenly lose total control of the situation. That and the awareness that our lives could have easily come to an end in the blink of an eye. Now, all of us have a desire to maintain a level of control in our lives. We don't like the feeling of spinning out of control, even if that's only in one area of our lives. If you were to take an honest look of your life, you would probably have to admit that there are some things that just aren't going the way you would like them to be in your life. None of us has a solid grip on every area of our lives. We all struggle at certain points of our lives that we have a hard time keeping in balance, whether that be our finances, our time management, some addiction or bad habit that keeps getting the better of us, or even some of the relationships of our lives that feel beyond our control. In short, we all have a need for getting a grip on our life. And for the next number of weeks then, we plan to focus on some areas of our lives that sometimes slip out of control for us. Now, thankfully, we serve a God of order, a God who is both willing and able to help us to bring order into those areas of our lives that sometimes feel out of balance. Our God is ready, and our God is able to help us in getting a grip on our lives. Now, our text in 1 Peter 4 shows how this process of getting a grip on our lives begins with our perspective or our attitude about life. It's about learning to live God's way in this life. As 1 Peter 4 verse 2 says, think of your life as a weaning from that old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way. Then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants instead of being tyrannized by what you want. In other words, the reason why our lives are sometimes out of balance or out of control is due to the fact that we're focused too much on me and not enough on what God wants for my life. When we focus too much on the world's way of thinking or living without considering God's purpose of our lives, invariably we'll find our lives somewhat out of balance. Invariably we'll find that we don't have the kind of grip on our lives that we would like to have. So this whole idea of getting a grip on our lives begins with us evaluating our priorities in this life and that we consider anew what God desires for our lives. Now we take another look at our purpose for living with the realization that it's not first and foremost about us. As Peter says in verse 3, our world keeps telling us that we need to look out for number one, that we need to do whatever feels good, that we just keep feeding our own self-centered needs or desires. That's not what God wants for our lives. The Bible stresses that the purpose of our lives is far greater than our own personal fulfillment, our own peace of mind, or even our own happiness. It's far greater than our own family, our own career advancement, or even what we do for recreation. We will only find ourselves getting a grip on our lives when we take another look at what God wants for us, how God wants us to live on this earth, and how we prioritize our decisions and our activities of our lives accordingly. Now, that usually requires that we have a look at the way we live our lives. And that usually means that we need to make certain changes in the way we live. And you know, we serve a God who is in the business of changing people's lives. God wants us to mature in our relationship with Him, and this maturity is all about getting our lives arranged in a healthy balance. And that's where many of us often get stuck. We might not be totally happy about the direction of our lives, but we hold back from making the changes that are required to strike that right balance in our lives. Because we come to realize that there's a cost to this reprioritizing of our lives. We might settle for certain minor changes, but just don't ask me to do anything drastic. Just let me cruise my way through life without being a fanatic about the way God wants me to live in this world. And so sometimes to keep us from becoming too attached to the things of this world, God sometimes allows us to feel a significant amount of discontent or dissatisfaction about life. To feel that we're losing our grip on how we are managing things on our own in our lives. And God sometimes uses those feelings of unease to challenge us to reconsider the direction of our lives. You see, God loves us too much to allow us to self-destruct in the way that we live our lives in this world. God has a way of stopping us in our tracks to force us to have another look what this life is all about, to consider how we need to have a better grip on our lives. And the first thing in getting a grip on our lives is to realize that we need some help in doing what we can't do in our own strength. We first need to allow God to get a grip on us before we can get a grip on our own hearts and lives. That we step back and that we allow God's Spirit to work within us to enable us to get control of those areas of our lives that often get the better of us, those areas of our lives that we just can't sort out on our own. And that only happens when we experience the reality and the power of God's grace in our lives. In verse 10, Peter talks about us being an agent of God's grace in our lives. Well, we can only be an agent of God's grace in the lives of other people around us when we know the reality and the power of God's grace in our own lives in the first place. And that requires an honest assessment of our own weaknesses and shortcomings, and then looking to God for His forgiveness, for His grace, for His peace, for His renewal in His Son Jesus. The Apostle Peter, the writer of this book of this passage that we read earlier, the Apostle Peter experienced this reality of God's grace in a powerful way in his own life. You see, Peter was an impulsive kind of guy, and Peter had a hard time getting a grip on certain areas of his life. And the night before Jesus went to the cross, Peter vehemently denied knowing anything about Jesus. And not just once, three times he denied that he was a follower of Jesus. And when confronted with the reality of his sin, Peter figured that Jesus would never want anything to do with him again. His life had spun out of control, and he thought that he was finished when it came to him serving God in his life. Now, thankfully, Jesus is in the business of giving people second chances. In John chapter 21, we can read how Jesus restored Peter to a position of leadership for his church. Peter got his life back in order, not because of something that he did on his own, but his life became back into balance and into order through the power of God's grace and God's forgiveness that he experienced in Jesus. And Peter was then able to make a fresh start. And God was able to use him in powerful ways to lead the spread of the gospel throughout the world at that time. And it's in that context that Peter urges us to be a channel of God's grace in our lives. Not because we have our lives totally together, but we do that with the assurance that God is able to use us despite our flaws, despite our sinful shortcomings. We become a channel of God's grace that we ourselves experience. And then in turn, we can express that grace to the people around that God places in our lives, to the people around us on a daily basis. Because of God's grace, because of God's love for us in Jesus, we can now be as gracious and loving toward others as God has already been for us in his Son Jesus. And it's this assurance of God's grace that invariably leads us to reconsider the purpose of our lives. Then we realize that life is not only so much about me and what other people can do for me, but we come to realize that life is more about this. What can I do to serve the needs of other people? What can I do to serve the needs of other people in response to what God has already done for me? Peter says in verse 10 and 11, each one should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength God provides. And it's not about serving other people out of a sense of guilt. It's not doing that because they demand that of us. No, we do it out of a sense of gratitude. Out of gratitude for what God has done for us in his Son Jesus. And when we live that way, and suddenly we find ourselves living with a whole new sense of purpose and meaning for our lives. It'll give us a new basis for our decision-making about the priorities of our lives. It'll help us to evaluate which activities are essential and which ones are no longer essential for us. And that then will enable us to have a new way of measuring the allotment of our time and resources, to show where and how we need to slow down the pace of our life to the point where we start to realize that, yes, we are starting to get a grip on our lives in a fresh new way. But another thing that's important for us in this is that we need to learn to keep an eternal perspective of our lives. You see, life is not just about what we do here on earth. But even more important, it's what God has in store for us for all eternity. Peter says in verse 5 that someday God is going to hold us accountable for how we have lived our lives here on this earth. Someday God is going to ask each one of us, what did you do with your life? What did you do with your gifts, with the talents, with the opportunities, with the energy, with the relationships, with the resources that I gave you as one of my children in this world? Did you spend all of those things on yourself? Or did you use them for my redemptive purposes that I created you for in this world? You see, measured against all eternity, our lives here on earth are really just a blink of an eye. But the consequences of how we live our lives in this world will actually last forever. And getting a grip on our lives required us to live with the renewed awareness that this could very well be the last day of our lives. I know in the weeks and the months after that car accident, every time I read about another fatal collision, I thought, boy, that could have been me. That could have been me having my end come to an end that quickly. Because we never know. We never know what the future holds for us. But if we knew that our lives would come to an end today or tomorrow, or that our lives would come to an end next week or even next month, I'm quite sure that each one of us would think, well, if I knew my life was coming to an end that quickly, how would I live my life differently than I'm doing right now? We need to think about that as we begin this focus on getting a grip in our lives. You see, it's a fatal mistake to assume that God's goal for our lives is our material prosperity or our popular success, as our world defines it. The Bible reminds us in Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The abundant life that the Bible talks about has nothing to do with our material abundance. In fact, I have the feeling that we'll probably be in heaven for no more than maybe 2 seconds before we come to realize, why in the world did I place so much importance on the things that were so temporary? What was I thinking? God wants us to focus our time and our energy on things that have meaning for all eternity. Because that's what it means to have a grip on our life. And all God